Mr. Brian Bunt, Director of Marketing at Windsor One, welcome to the WCLBMA podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Bradley. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to be with you again. I guess the last time I was with you was October last year at the 2022 annual convention for the WCLBMA, and that may or may not be. Well, it remains to be determined if that's the next time I see you in person, but good to see you here. I want to jump right into a big topic that I thought you'd be the perfect person to discuss with is more and more there seems to be these silos that exist between sales and marketing. And my experience is talking to a few people at Windsor One, Corbin Reinhardt, one of your sales guys, he's one of my favorite people on the planet. I feel like every time I talk to him, he's like, oh yeah, I just talked to Brian on this. Like, sales and marketing, you guys are so cohesive. I wonder if you could maybe talk a little about the culture, maybe some foundational principles, or take it anywhere you want on what you guys do to really make sure there isn't any distinction between the work that marketing and sales is doing because you're doing it together.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, and this is a term by the Miller-Hyman methodology, and we follow that there's really only two roles in any organization, and it's sales and sales support. So that applies to whether it be our guys out in the mill, guys cutting a tree out in the forest, the marketing team, or the sales team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really all sales and sales support, just depending on what category we fall into. And as far as our marketing department goes, we believe in throwing spaghetti, and that means you throw it and see what sticks. And we include everybody on the sales team too. I mean, there's small things that they might not be included on, but everybody always has a voice because you never know where that next great idea or spaghetti throw is going to come from. It could be from one of our inside sales guys, Kurt, in the office. It could be from a guy on the mill floor. It could be from Corbin out in sales. So that's kind of the approach we've taken to it, where it's not, we don't really see ourselves as compartmentalized. It's all one team working together.
Maybe let's dig into that a little bit more about the throwing spaghetti. So if I'm listening to this, I'm like, all right, my assumption will be, Brian, you guys get together and you try things and you throw out lots of ideas. You do some brainstorming and you see what sticks. Can you maybe walk through what you guys have been able to do? Because I think you guys, I've shared this with you, is your sense of humor and just the subtle things you do. And often, whether it's the, call Kurt for a shirt or?
Call Kurt for a shirt, which is, we have the back stamp of every board has a 800 number where end users, being the builder or contractor, can call in and talk to Kurt, or we have other guys inside as well. A lot of times they are amazed when they do get Kurt, and then they get a shirt. And the idea behind that campaign is that Kurt tells them about other Windsor One products as well, and then creates downstream demand by tying them back into whatever lumber yard they're shopping at.
I love that. And it's now hilarious that you probably, do you know, like, how many shirts have you given away from the campaign?
So rough estimates, we have 20,000 since we started the campaign, first time callers. Then when we put them all together, you've got guys that have called 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because we've been doing this campaign since 2009. Rough estimates are we've sent out at least 100,000 shirts, if not more. But I'd have to go back through old invoices to really dig into how many we've exactly sent out. Because when a guy calls in, they'll typically ask for one for their, well, we always offer two. Hey, who are you working with? Mm. You need one for your boss, you need one for your subs. And so we'll send out anywhere from, on average, 3 shirts per call, but a lot of times it can be up to anywhere from 7 to 10.
100,000 shirts. That's amazing. But I think that really speaks to a couple of things. Number one, the durability of a good idea. And if it works, keep doing it. And I can imagine now it's grown so much that someone's like, yeah, go ahead, call Kurt. And then they're like, actually, they've grown too big. You don't talk to Kurt anymore. And then you get excited when you actually talk to the rock star Kurt,
Yeah, and another avenue just to tell you how the ideas work is, we always allow for a brainstorming session at our annual sales meeting when we're all together. One idea that came up was one of our outside sales guys said, it'd be great if we could stop doing PKs, product knowledge sessions, because they occur typically after work. No one really wants to stay after any longer. They didn't sign up to go to a class a half hour after they're supposed to clock out. And so we just started throwing spaghetti on, hey, how can we change that to where we don't have to do as many PKs? I mean, we still do them, but we try to limit them a bit. And what we found was we created what we call the Windsor One Illuminati. And so it was a secret society geared towards those guys working at the lumberyard. It's an invite-only thing, so they have to be invited by, well, it started out by being invited by someone on our sales team. And then once people became members, they get what we call trusted agent cards, where they can invite others in their organization to join as well. And what we do there is, you know, then we send out, you know, a cool, you know, swag box with a Illuminati Yeti to start out and a t-shirt. And then they get emails, you know, every 2 months with just knowledge about where they have to respond. We ask a question that, you know, is trying to teach them something about Windsor One that we'd like them to retain. They respond back, whether they get it right or wrong, they get some other nifty prize. Like right now we're doing a, Yeti Windsor One Illuminati water bottle that that they get as well. And the great part about that is they might get the answer wrong, but then our people that respond to those emails, sometimes it's me, can then correct and tell them, hey, well, okay, thanks for responding, but you know what? Actually, we don't want you to use Windsor One for these kind of, you know, installation practices. And then you can educate them that way to help eliminate the amount of PKs that we have to do in the field. And hopefully the guys retain, guys and gals retain a little more.
In terms of that, brainstorming, I've been in part of a few groups where, hey, let's just, we're going to brainstorm, fellas. There's no bad ideas. And then the minute somebody throws out a crazy idea, like leveraging the Illuminati principle with Windsor One somehow, it like immediately gets shot down and everyone else looks around like, well, not making that mistake. And then no one throws out anything, or you really stifle the new ideas that come out. Do you guys have any principles in that brainstorming session that you say, if you're going to do this and you're trying and you haven't done it, here's a few principles that will help you make sure it's as successful as possible?
So I think the biggest thing is breaking up into smaller groups as opposed to having like 10, 15 plus people. We'll typically break everybody up into a group of three, maybe four, and just say, and have one person as a recorder, and their whole job is just, I mean, they can chime in too, but they have to write everything down. You know, so whether it's, if someone thinks, oh, that's too crazy, we don't want to do that, it's like, no, let's just get it on the board. And then normally myself, I'll walk around as a facilitator and look at all the ideas. And if people are getting stuck, try to help out a little bit. And then, you know, afterwards, we all come back together and everybody reads off what their list is. And, you know, maybe some ideas get shot down, but at least then everyone's idea is up there and heard. Because someone in one group might say, oh, that's a terrible idea. But then few others in another group might be like, wow, that's awesome. And then we discuss it and figure out if it's something we want to develop further.
Once you guys collect those ideas, any lessons learned or advice for kind of that period where we don't know, this might work, it might not, on how do you make sure you're giving it enough time to survive and get some traction versus not let it go on long enough where everyone's like, why are we still doing this? Any advice on that?
Yeah, so we've had issues with that too. And what we've found is, you know, we do the brainstorming. We try to, you know, map out using this methodology we've learned from a gentleman named Andy Cernovitz called the 5 T's. We try to map out a few ideas, but then we record everything. Myself, my coworker Emily, coworker Lindsay, we'll then take those and we'll put those into, we use Box and Box Notes. And so we'll put those, we'll just transcribe all those ideas onto there. And then we can revisit it a week later, 2 weeks later, whatnot. I mean, we'll set reminders so we follow up. That's another challenging part too, is just to make sure you actually go reread everything you put up and then pose ideas to the group. Because, you know, a lot of times when you're doing these brainstorming sessions, people are like, all right, cool, we got some ideas. Let's go grab a beer and maybe talk about it a little bit more. Or, you know, we're going to get dinner and then we're done and everyone's flying home. So those are just things that we try to do to keep it going. And yeah, there's probably been some great ideas that we haven't acted on just because it's, you know, about time and you can only do so much. And sometimes you forget about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that too. Is that scheduling portion of, I've had that where I'll write down this note and I look at this, you know, 3x5 note card. And I'm like, it's my handwriting. I have no idea what the hell this means, but when I was writing it, I literally wrote, this is a big idea. I'm like, I have no idea what this means 24 hours later. So scheduling that time to not only document, have your beer, have dinner and come back and revisit it. I can imagine that's helpful.
Yeah, we found it does help quite a bit. And then trying to assign a schedule. It's like we try to walk away with campaigns, but Emily, our designer, will help, flush all those out. And so we'll make a schedule for her to do follow-up. So maybe someone's idea doesn't actually get, realized or conceptualized until 6 months later, just on time, but at least it's a schedule so we can see that it's moving forward and people think, okay, at least they didn't completely ignore me.
Right. Yes. Let me ask you, kind of on the same vein before we move on a little bit, are there any sort of tools? I know from Andy Cernovitz and his book, Word of Mouth Marketing, you guys, I think you or Corbin gave me a free copy of that. And then one of our sessions, we brought like 120 of them, gave them out to everybody. Any other kind of, whether it's technology tools or digital or physical or print or whatever, anything else that you guys have enabled you to market more successfully, help salespeople sell more in a way that's proven effective?
I don't think there actually is like a magic pill for that. Right. Like I said, it's the education and it's following up with the team. We have programs we use, for tracking stuff. We use Salesforce for ideas. Okay. We use Box. We've tried them all. I mean, we used Evernote for a while. We've done, Apple Notes. It's finding whatever the team is willing to adopt. So far for us, Box seems the best way. And then, Salesforce is our CRM program for when we're running campaigns to actually track what kind of results we're getting.
Okay. So you're tracking that all through Salesforce and your CRM?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I can pull those call curtain numbers for you. Let you know how many Illuminati members we have, track campaigns that we've run, record what we've spent on them, all of that stuff.
That's great. I was interested to learn more about, from 2020 to 2021, you were part of the Stanford University Graduate School of Business LEED, all capitalized, professional certificate, a year-long program that develops effective leaders who embody 5 core leadership competencies: critical analysis, self-awareness, interpersonal acumen, situational awareness, and holistic communication. I feel like this is the sort of thing where so many people, let's assume they could all get accepted to Stanford, but that would say, oh, that'd be cool to do. I'd love to do that, but I'm just too busy. Just don't have the time. Maybe just tell us a little bit about how this program came on your radar, how you allocated the time, and what you got out of being part of it.
Yeah. So it's got a long name, but for lack of a better terms, it's like a mini executive MBA. And I learned about it because one of my coworkers, she works with us stateside now, but she immigrated up from Chile from our facilities down there. When she came here, she wanted to increase her education. And that's a program that she found and then said, hey, do you guys mind if I do this? And I'm like, no, that sounds great. Let's do it. And after she finished it, I kind of got a download from her. I'm like, hey, so was it useful? She's like, oh, yeah, I want to go back and do this program now. And so I said, yeah, well, maybe I should give that a shot as well. So it just helps a little bit more on the business management side of stuff, and a refresher since, college for me was quite some time ago. And just found it, you get to meet a whole lot of people from different walks of life, a lot, in the tech industry, quite a few people that work for Oracle were in my study groups. But it's really just teaching you better business practices and how to better lead a team. And I was fortunate, it required a few hours every day. And then, you had study groups on the weekends. So it is a time commitment. I signed up for it pre the lockdown. And stuff really started about a month pre lockdown is when the courses really started. And so it turns out I had a ton of time because I wasn't in the air anymore. I was just working remotely. And that made it pretty easy to complete. But if people are interested, they should, expect probably, an hour to two every evening. Like, it's on your own schedule. You just have to get all these items done in a week. So,
okay.
For example, you could, and you have classes you've got to listen to, but they're pre-recorded, most of them. There's a few you have to be live for. Had it not been the pandemic, I would have went and spent a week in the beginning and a week after at Stanford working with the groups as well, or at the beginning of the program and at the end. Yeah. So missed out on that, unfortunately. But all in all, it was great. Just continued development. Very fortunate that Windsor believes in doing that for employees, provided they have a valid reason for wanting to go do it.
Well, I can imagine too. Just say you're next to somebody from Oracle, and you're next to somebody from Google, and then you're next to somebody from Boeing or whatever. I've just found having people who work just entirely different industries. What is normal, what is status quo, what is just standardized in that industry could be extremely different from other industries, let alone our own. And I think it just exposes you to different ideas and different ways of getting things done that I think are just really, really helpful. And I think whenever someone young is like, hey, I'm thinking about this or getting some extra education, the time management and how you can fulfill it is one thing, but making that commitment, just meeting new people and learning new things, is just such a powerful way to kind of excel your career and be more productive in what you do.
Yeah, no, I was definitely the only guy from the lumber industry in that program at the time. And I mean, the biggest takeaway was you learned a lot about different industries. But the thing that I noticed too is, you know, a lot of these folks that were heavily more in the tech side, they were not good at delegating group roles. And so I found myself leading my study group most of the time, just because they weren't that used to interacting with people that weren't in their exact field.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. Well, and that's got to make you feel good too. Is like you roll in, you got some guys who, you know, they have an MBA or they have this or that, and you roll in, you're like, I'm just in lumber. And then all of a sudden you're like, all right, I'll step up. Someone's got to run this program. You start delegating
exactly.
Stuff. That's great. Well, that's, I think that's a good tie in here to, really what we're increasing awareness and wanted to share different ideas here leading up to October 18th to the 20th, 2023 here at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego for the WCLBMA annual convention. You and I were there last year. I know this is easy for you. This is, you're just right outside of San Diego, which is, you're the smartest guy I know and deciding on where you should live. Especially here when it's like 112 in Dallas right now. But maybe talk a little bit about kind of what were some of your takeaways, or how do you make time knowing you're busy right now? You're calling, you are on the East Coast. You are exactly on the opposite coast of where you live. You're busy. You got stuff going on. What have you gotten out of these live events, meeting with different people from different parts of the supply chain at an event like the WCLBMA annual convention?
I think the biggest thing is just how much you can just share stories and get different opinions of what's going on in the market. You know, last year I believe the topic was riding the wave of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. This year it's building a rock solid foundation. But you know, going into 2023, there was still I would say there's more uncertainty, or there was, than when we were in 2022. It seems now like maybe that's starting to stabilize a little bit, but all of us in the building industry were like, oh, are we going into recession? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen with supply chain? Heck, it was really tough, back during the pandemic, and it's still been fairly tough too. So just meeting with other people in the industry and sharing stories and trying to get their take on what they're seeing. And also just, getting that knowledge of what everyone else is seeing out there in the market.
Yeah, I think this is it's an ongoing journey to figure out like what is real? What is reality? What do I understand? My little experiences are just infinitesimal compared to like collectively what other people see. And I could talk to you and you're like, that's interesting you say that. Here's what I'm experiencing over here on the East Coast today, but what it's like back on the West Coast. And all of a sudden I'm like, all right, it's very possible my view of the world right now, this lens is completely wrong. But if you get enough smart people together, you can have a couple beers and in 2 hours, you can really solidify kind of, hey, what's true, what's factual. So you are aware of who our primary keynote speaker is. Last year we had Bill Walton, Hall of Famer. Do you know anything about our keynote speaker this year?
Well, although, I'm not necessarily a fan of this person's team, I do believe they've won, and you can correct me on this, 4 Super Bowl rings, also received, went for their service in the military, a Purple Heart, and they're a pretty accomplished speaker as well. So I'll wait. I think you might be interviewing them later before the conference. I don't even think we've sent out the speaker names yet, so I'll hold off on saying who that is. The one thing I will add, though, I will drop one name that I'm really curious in listening to again, is Matt Saunders, who was the economist last year at the event. And it'll be very interesting to hear his take on how he sees things going forward in 2024 versus how he saw them going into 2023.
Yeah, I agreed. I think the only human ever to have won 4 Super Bowls, Purple Heart, and a Silver Star. So would I be interested to hear this individual talk about leadership and management and leading strong teams and overcoming adversity? Yes, Brian. Yes, I would. Yeah, and Matt does a great job. John Burns works there. Walks a really great line between being informative and absolutely knowing the numbers, and yet being someone that you can listen to for an hour and then handle questions. Because I don't know about you, but I've been to some other events where they bring out the economist and it's just like, it's like human tryptophan. Like, I'm just getting sleepy immediately. Yeah, so I'm excited to be with him again. So again, that's October 18th to the 20th, Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego. And it's going to be a fantastic time. And I'm thrilled to be back and excited to be with you. So Brian, I know you're busy. I appreciate you making time, and thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. And looking forward to hopefully, if not sooner, seeing you in person in San Diego.
You got it.